بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلق الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد As for what follows, then alhamdulillah, we've gathered back here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal, the first Muslim mosque of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for our gathering, our weekly gathering here on Fridays, to come together and study Tafsir, Surat Ar-Rahman. And by Allah's permission and grace alone, He has allowed us to study all the way to near the end in 6 sessions, this being the 7th session, reading from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. And these lessons, by the permission of Allah, are broadcast on Mirath Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless the radio station, those who maintain it, and all of those who listen. We finished last time with the 68th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. So we'll begin with 69 tonight until the end of the surah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Then which of the favors of your Lord do the two of you deny? The two of you being jinn and mankind. Then Allah says in the 70th verse, فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ In those gardens, in those 4 gardens, there are khayratun hisan. There are ladies that are good and beautiful. Khayrat hisan. Fihinna. The Shaykh says, wahada jam'un. The plural is being used here. Fihinna. That noon with a shadda on it means a group of feminine things or a group of a group of feminine things. وَقَدْ قَالَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ فِيهِمَا The verse that we studied last, فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ In those 2 gardens, there are fruits, there are dates, and there are pomegranates. Here, Allah Ta'ala says, فِيهِنَّ In them. And why is that? لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْجَمْعِ The Shaykh says, because this plural, يَعُودُ عَلَى الْجِنَانِ الْأَرْبَعِ It refers to the 4 gardens, the 2 pairs of gardens, which is 4 gardens in total. فَفِي الْجِنَانِ الْأَرْبَعِ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ In these 4 gardens, there are ladies of such beauty that one's eyesight does not desire what is beyond them. كَمَا سَبَقْ As has preceded in the tafsir of that verse. وَفِي الْجِنَانِ الْأَرْبَعِ And in all 4 of these gardens, خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ There are خَيْرَات, ladies that are good, حِسَان, and fine. أي فِي الْأَخْلَاقِ الْأَخْلَاقُ الطَّيِّبَ They are خَيْرَات as it relates to their manners. They have good manners. حِسَانُ الْوُجُوهِ وَالْبَدَنِ And they are حِسَان, the plural of حَسَانَ, they are fine in their faces, as regards to their faces and their bodies. فَالْأَوَّلُ حُسْنُ الْبَاطِنِ So the first description of خَيْرَات is regarding the goodness of their inner selves, or their inner goodness. وَهَذَا حُسْنُ الظَّاهِرِ And then حِسَان refers to the outward goodness. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Then which of the favors of your Lord do you then deny? The two of you, jinn kind and mankind. حُورٌ مَقُصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ There are ladies, beautiful ladies, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ that are hidden or, let's say, protected and discoverably hidden. They are within those tents, hidden in tents, or, how can I say it, protected in tents, or kept within the confines of those tents. الحوراء هي الجميلة الحوراء is a beautiful woman. التي جملت في جميع خلقها, the one that's beautiful from every aspect of her creation, every aspect of her appearance and the way she is. وبالأخص العين, and specifically the eyes. شديدة البياض, they are extremely white eyes, the whites of the eyes. شديدة السواد, the black, the pupils are extremely black. واسعة مستديرة من أحسن ما يكون, big wide eyes that are fully circular from the best that can be understood or from the very best possible. مقصورات, مقصورات, the meaning of that is مخبأت, hidden or unrevealed, hidden in a way that can be attained. مخبأت, stored away perhaps. في الخيام, in tents, جمع خيمة. The word خيام is the plural of خيمة. The خيمة is a tent. والخيمة معروفة, the Shaykh says, it's something well known. هي بناء له عمود وأرويقة. It is a structure that is constructed. It has poles and it has covers. Covers that go across those poles. لكن الخيمة في الآخرة ليست كالخيمة في الدنيا. However, the tent that exists in the hereafter is not like the tent. It is not the tent that you know of in this life. بل هي خيمة من لؤلؤة. It is a tent made of pearls. طولها في السماء مرتفع جدا. Its height goes up into the heavens or up into the loftiness, and it is extremely high up. ويرى من في باطنها من ظاهرها. And whoever is inside can be seen from the outside. ولا تسأل عن حسنها وجمالها. And its beauty and fineness is not to be even asked about. Meaning, don't even ask about how beautiful, how fine these tents are. May Allah give us from these tents. هَؤُلَاءِ الْحُورُ مَقْصُورَاتٌ مُخَبَّآتٌ. So these ladies, the virgin maidens of paradise, they are kept behind or kept within these tents, kept stored for you in these tents. بِهَذِهِ الْخِيَامِ عَلَىٰ أَكْمَلِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الدَّلَالِ وَالتَّنْعِيمِ. In the very best of ways of being prepared, being beautified, and being in delight. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنسٌ قَبَلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانَّ. And no mankind, no human being has had intercourse with them before, and no jinn. No mankind and no jinn. يعني لَمْ يُجَامِعْهُنَّ أَحَدٌ. Meaning no one had intercourse with them. بَلْ هِيَ بَاقِيَةٌ عَلَى بَكَارَتِهَا إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَغْشَاهَا زَوْجُهَا. Rather, they remain in the state of virginity, being virgins, until their husbands come and have intercourse with them. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. May Allah make us and you from them, from these men who get to enjoy these ladies. Ameen. Since here there's a discussion of the ladies of paradise and intercourse in paradise, then I remind you to review the recording of the last lesson, in which we talked about those people who come with their intellects today, and they say it's not appropriate to believe that in the hereafter there's going to be intercourse, or there's going to be sexual activity in the hereafter. These maidens of fair beauty, and these descriptions here, if you think that's for sexual intercourse, then you have a gutter mind, as some people have said. If you think that these ladies here are prepared for your sexual enjoyment in the hereafter, then there's something wrong with your intellect. Look at how the people speak so boldly upon misguidance. Rather, we say, with the ijma' of the Muslims, the ijma' of the entire bodies of scholars throughout history, that was never contested, that there is sexual intercourse in paradise. Al-hur al-'ain, the motivation to be with these virgin ladies is for sexual intercourse in paradise, as described explicitly by the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in great detail, about how a man will be given the strength of 100 men as it relates to his ability to have intercourse again and again. And more details were given. You can review the last recording. Wala jan, and no jinn had entered upon these ladies. Ay, wala jinn, and no jinn. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْجِنَّ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنَ مَعَ الْإِنسِ وَهُوَ كَذَٰلِكَ. And this verse proves that jinn will go to paradise like humans go to paradise. And that's the truth of the matter, or that's the way it is. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ أَحَدًا. Because Allah does not oppress anyone. وَالْجِنْ مِنْهُمْ صَالِحُونَ. And the jinn, there are some of them that are upright. وَمِنْهُمْ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And some of them are less than that. As if the shaykh is referencing here, without mentioning it, the 11th verse of Surah Al-Jinn, where the jinn announced, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And verily there are from among us some which are righteous and some which are less than that. كُنَّا تَرَائِقَ قِدَدَ. We are paths, we are upon different pathways. We are upon different directions. And Allah Ta'ala also mentions the statement of the jinn in the 14th and 15th verses of the same surah, Surah Al-Jinn, saying, وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْا رَشَدًا. And from us are Muslims, and from us are disobedient ones, and whoever has accepted Islam, then they are the ones that have sought outright guidance. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. As for the qasitun, those rebellious, disobedient ones, then they are fuel for the hellfire. So here we see clearly that what? The jinn understand that some of them are righteous, and they will be rewarded, and some of them are wicked, and they will be punished. That's all from Surah Al-Jinn. طيب وَمِنْهُمْ وَالْجِنْ مِنْهُمْ صَالِحُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Some of them are Muslims, some of them are kafirs. كَالْإِنْسِ تَمَامًا. Just like mankind. كَمَا أَنَّ الْإِنْسَ فِيهِمْ مُطِيعٌ وَعَاصٌ. Just like human beings, there are obedient ones and there are disobedient ones. وَفِيهِمْ كَافِرٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ. And there are believers and disbelievers. كَذَلِكَ الْجِنْ. Likewise are the jinn race. وَالْجِنُّ الْمُسْلِمُ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ. And the Muslim jinn, there's good in him. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيُنْبِئُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَيُسَاعِدُ أَهْلَ الصَّلَاحِ مِنَ الْإِنسِ. And he is someone who does good. He leads towards goodness. He gives good news to people. He assists the righteous people from the human beings. He assists righteous human beings. And a point there, not that humans request their help, because requesting assistance from the jinn, what is that called? Shirk, sihr. In actuality, it is the essence of magic that you request assistance from the jinn. And if you said, well, what's wrong with that if the jinn is righteous? What's wrong with that if the jinn is righteous? It's your brother. He's a righteous jinn. He's only helping you in a matter of tawheed or obedience. He's not helping you in a matter of disobedience. You don't know the world of the jinn, and it's an unseen matter to you. And the disobedient jinn, just like disobedient people may come to you with an obedient face. They may come to you with a side of obedience. So it's a realm that is extremely dangerous. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not teach us to interact with the jinn, to request things from the jinn, only the righteous from them. But rather it's a very dangerous, dangerous issue that is the realm of dark arts or magic and so on that we ask Allah for refuge from. وَيُدُلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. We said, well, jinn الفاسق, the disobedient jinn, أو الكافر, or the disbelieving jinn, مثل الفاسق أو الكافر من بني آدم, is similar to the disobedient or disbeliever from amongst the human beings, from the children or descendants of Adam. سواء بالسواء, exactly the same. وكافرهم يدخل النار, and the disbelievers of them, they will enter the fire. بإجماع المسلمين, by way of consensus of all the Muslims, meaning all of the Muslim scholars of the past have all agreed that jinn are subject to being put in paradise or the hellfire. كَمَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ, and it's based on a text in the Qur'an. قال دخلوا في أمم قد خلت من قبلكم من الجن والإنس في النار. And it said, Allah will say, enter into or enter amongst the nations who have come before you from the jinn and the mankind who are in the fire. Right? And that's from Surah Al-A'raf, the 38th verse. وَهَذَا نَصُّ الْقُرْآنِ هَذَا نَصُّ الْقُرْآنِ This is an explicit, entirely clear textual evidence from the Qur'an. وَأَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْكَافِرَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ And so the scholars have all agreed with total consensus that the disbeliever from amongst the jinn shall enter the fire. وَمُؤْمِنُ الْجِنُّ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ And the believers from amongst the jinn, they shall enter the paradise. And there's something the Shaykh said here that's not in this transcribed copy. Remember, the book is a transcription of the lecture that the Shaykh gave. In the original lecture, the Shaykh said at this point, وَلِهَذَا سُورَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ كُلُّهَا فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ He said that thus you find that the whole surah of Ar-Rahman, Surah Ar-Rahman, it has this repeated phrase. So which of the favors of your Lord do the two of you deny? And the two being addressed are jinn kind and mankind, indicating accountability with both parties. Mankind is accountable for recognizing the blessings of Allah and thanking Allah for them, just as jinn kind are responsible for recognizing the blessings of Allah and thanking Him for those blessings. طيب. وقوله تعالى and His statement, the statement of Allah the Most High, لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ And no man has had intercourse with them, the ladies of paradise, before, nor any jinn, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْجِنَّ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ This shows that there will be jinn in paradise. Since there is the negation here of these ladies being touched by jinn, then that means that there is a possibility of that for it to be negated, right? So that means that the jinn will be in paradise. وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ And that's exactly correct, or that's the way it is. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ So which of the favors of your Lord do you, the two of you, deny? Jinn kind and mankind. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَىٰ رَفْرَفٍ خُضْرٍ وَأَبْقَرِيٍّ حِسَانٍ And there'll be the description of the people in paradise with these ladies, with these fruits and everything that's been mentioned here. They'll be relaxing, laid back on رَفْرَفْ خُضْر رَفْرَفْ are pillows. Because they make a sound, it's one of those words in Arabic like zalzala and waswasa. It's a sound that you hear being repeated. I told you before, hamhama. You remember what hamhama is? What is it? It's the sound of the horse. I don't know what it's even called in English. It's that sound when they go, right? It sounds just like hamham. So the word in Arabic for it is hamhama. So you say the horse hamhama you hamhimu hamhamatan. Right? He made a hamhama. So then the rafrafa, zalzala, and other words like this, right? Waswasa. What's waswasa? You know what that is? When someone whispers to you. It's called waswasa. And the sound of the action is the name of the verb actually. Waswasa. Right? So we have here rafrafa. Rafrafa. It's the sound of pillows being fluffed. Right? And so, ruff ruff is a reference to a pillow. Khudar, a stuffed pillow. And the edges, the sound that the edges of that pillow would make if you fluffed it. Right? So, pillows that are fluffed and they are green. طيب. أي معتمدين and وعبقرين حسان and they have mattresses that are beautiful as well. Mattresses or places to rest on that are soft and beautiful. The very best. Abqari. أي معتمدين بأيديهم وظهورهم. So they're leaning back with their hands and their backs on these pillows. على رفرف. On رفرف. Right? على مساند ترفرف. These are pillows or supports that make this رفرف a sound. Right? مثل ما يكون على أطراف المساند, like the pillows make that sound when you fluff them or when they are moved around. وَيَكُونُ فِي الْأَسِرَّ And they are those things found on the beds, they are pillows. هَكَذَا يُرَفْرِفُ That's how they make that sound of that ruff-ruff, which is the fluffing of a pillow. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى رَفْرَفٍ خُضْرٍ And they're mentioned as being green. They're leaning back, relaxing, supporting themselves on green pillows. لِأَنَّ اللَّوْنَ الْأَخْضَرَ أَنْسَبُ مَا يَكُونُ لِلنَّظَرِ Because green is the best and most appropriate color for someone to look at something in a relaxed way. وَأَشَدُّ مَا يَكُونُ بَهَجَةً لِلْقَلْبِ And it's the most extensive way the heart can bask or delight in something, that it is green. In that, Al-Imam Al-Bazzar in his Musnad and Al-Bayhaqi in his book Al-Jami' لِشُعَبَ الْإِيمَانِ They collected a narration with two different routes to Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه. And they're both weak, but they support each other, inshaAllah ta'ala, as is the verdict of Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha, that Anas ibn Malik said that the most beloved color to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning his favorite color was green. His favorite color was green. Now, that hadith is subject to criticism, and there are scholars who would call that hadith weak. Right? Unauthentic. However, I mentioned to you one of the scholars who has mentioned that it is authentic by way of its mutual support by these two chains. And I believe there's a third one mentioned there. For those of you who wish to review it in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha, number 2054 for the precise reference. طيب. وَعَبْقَرِيٍّ حِسَانٍ And mattresses that are beautiful. الْعَبْقَرِي هُوَ الْفُرُشُ الْجَيِّدَةُ جِدًّا Abqari, they are beds or mattresses that are very of high quality, very good. وَلِهَذَا يُسَمَّ الْجَيِّدُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَبْقَرِ And thus in the Arabic language, you call the best or a very virtuous or high-ranking thing in any category of things, you call it abqari, the word abqari. In today's Arabic, they use the word abqari for the word genius. They use abqari for genius. And what they mean by that is the very best of the students, he's the genius. He's the one with the most advanced thought process and so on. So he's abqari. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, just as the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, في الرؤية التي رآها حين نزع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, he saw in a dream, that Umar ibn al-Khattab, it seems to be the case, I'm not really clear on the meaning, that he was on horseback and he withdrew from a larger group of people in a dream that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw. And he said, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ عَبْقَرِيًّا يَفْرِي فَرْيَهُ I have not seen any abqari, meaning, not genius, but what? This kind of person, the very best of the people, like the way he would, you know, pull up and back away from the people. طيب. أي ينزعوا نزعه. Meaning retreat and pull back from the people as he has done. And that's a hadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. من قوته رضي الله عنه. From the strength that this man had. May Allah be pleased with him. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Then which of the favors of your Lord then do you to deny? And again, the mention of the word abqari there in that passage was to help you understand abqari is in general the very best in all things. Huh? So abqariyin, the beds, they are the very best of beds or mattresses. Naam, in the paradise, may Allah Ta'ala allow us to enjoy them. So then which of the favors of your Lord do the two of you deny? Al-ma'ana at-taqrir. What is intended here is to confirm, to establish, right? To make a person confess that there is nothing, or to understand that all of the apparent, obvious blessings that Allah has given him are not to be denied. يعني أن النعم واضحة فبأي شيء تكذبون Meaning, all of these blessings, they are clear and obvious and apparent. So what is it that you are going to deny? الجواب لا نكذب بشيء And the answer, is that we say there is nothing that we're going to deny of them. نَعْتَرِفُ بِآلَاءِ اللَّهِ وَنِعَمِهِ وَنُقِرُّ بِهَا. We acknowledge all of the blessings of Allah and His favors, and we affirm all of them. And we acknowledge and affirm all of them. وَنَعْتَرِفُ بِأَنَّنَا مُقَصِّرُونَ. And we also acknowledge that we are people who fall short. لَمْ نَشْكُرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَ حَقَّ شُكْرِهِ. We have not thanked Allah, the Most High, with the level of thanks that is deserved. وَلَكِنَّنَا نُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ عَفْوَ اللَّهِ. There's a word missing in the transcript here. And we're on page 324. It says, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْسَعْ. And the recording was, بِأَنَّ عَفْوَ اللَّهِ أَوْسَعْ. That Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, His overseeing or overlooking the sins of the servants, أَوْسَعْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِنَا. That is more expansive, greater than our sins. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ. And that Allah, the Blessed and Most High, is an all-forgiver and a very generous one. يُحِبُّ تَوْبَةَ عَبْدِهِ. He loves the repentance of His servant. وَيُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. And He loves those who continually repent. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And He loves those who continually perform acts of purity. حَتَّى قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And that shows you, or something that will show you how much this is stressed, is the statement of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ. Verily Allah rejoices more, or is more engaged in rejoicing because of the repentance of one of His servants than one of you would be. And he paused right here and went to explain. وَذَكَرَ الرَّجُلْ فِي ثَلَاتٍ أَضَلَّ رَاحِلَتَهُ. He mentioned the case of a man who was out, meaning he stopped quoting the hadith verbatim, and he's quoting the hadith now by meaning. He's saying, like the case of a man who went out into the open desert, out into the large desert where there is no civilization, and his mount, his animal, was lost. وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. And he had his food and drink on that animal. فَطَلَبَهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدْهَا. And he went looking for his animal and couldn't find it at all. فَأَيِّسَ مِنْهَا. So he gave up looking for his animal. فَطَجَعَ إِلَىٰ ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ يَنْتَظِرُ الْمَوْتِ. So then he went and relaxed under the shade of a tree, just waiting to die. Meaning out in the middle of the desert, no chance of life, no chance of survival. آيِسٌ مِنَ الْحَيَاءِ. Giving up on life. Realizing this is it for him, he's done. فَإِذَا بِخِطَامِ نَاقَتِهِ مُتَعَلِّقًا بِالشَّجَرَةِ. Then he finds the strap, the harness of his riding beast is right there at the tree, or strapped to the tree. Right? فَأَخَذَ. So he grabs hold of it. وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ. And so he says, oh Allah, I am your Lord and you're my servant. Notice the phrase? He said, oh Allah, I am your Lord and you are my servant. يُرِيدُ أَنْتَ رَبِّي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. He meant to say, I am your servant, or you are my Lord and I am your servant. لَكِن مِن شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ أَخْطَى. However, due to extreme happiness, joy, he made an error, he made a mistake. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي. So he said instead, mistakenly, O Allah, you are my servant, وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ, and I am your Lord. فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ بِنَاقَتِهِ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ بِنَاقَتِهِ. And so Allah, the Most High, is more joyous or happier at the repentance of one of His servants than this man is with finding his riding beast, with his possessions, with his food and drink on it. اللهم تب علينا يا رب العالمين. O Allah, accept our repentance, O Lord of all that exists. تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. And then Allah Ta'ala, in this last verse of Surah Ar-Rahman, He says, and blessed be the name of your Lord, the possessor of jalal, of honor and ikram, and generosity or kindness. طيب ختم الله تبارك وتعالى هذه السورة بهذه الجملة العظيمة. This great sentence here ends, Allah, the Blessed and Most High, ends this surah with this statement, that blessed be the name of your Lord, the possessor of might, or the possessor of honor and generosity or kindness. حَتَّى أَفْوَانْ أَيْ مَا أَعْظَمُ بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ. Right? مَا أَعْظَمُ بَرَكَةُ اللَّهِ. How great is the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا أَعْظَمُ الْبَرَكَةِ بِسْمِهِ. And how great is the blessing that is found in His name. حَتَّى إِنَّ اسْمَ اللَّهِ يُحَلِّلُ الذَّبِيحَةَ أَوْ يُحَرِّمُهَا. And this is manifested in some concepts, like the name of Allah being that which makes slaughtered meats permissible or impermissible. That meat is halal or haram based on the name of Allah being mentioned over it. لو ذبح الإنسان ذبيحة. If a person slaughtered some animal. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. And he did not say in the name of Allah. تَكُونُ مَيْتَ حَرَامًا نَجِسَةً مُضِرَّةً عَلَى الْبَدَنِ. That in such a case, it would be classified as dead meat. Haram, impermissible. Najisa, filth, and impure. And mudirra, and harmful to the body. Hatta لو ذبح ونسي أن يقول بسم الله. Even if a person were to slaughter, and he normally says Bismillah, but in this one occasion he forgot and he slaughtered the animal without saying Bismillah in the name of Allah. فهي حرام نجسة تفسد البدن. It is in this case still haram. It is still impure and something that would corrupt the body of the person who ate it. فَيَجِبُ أَنْ يَسْحَبَهَا لِلْكِلَابِ. In this case, it's an obligation on him. If he forgot to say the Bismillah when he slaughtered, that he take that meat that is the result of that slaughter and just throw it off to the dogs. لِأَنَّهَا نَجِسَةً. Because it is what? Impure. قال الله تعالى ولا تأكلوا مما لم ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه وإنه لفسق. Do not eat from what has not had the name of Allah تعالى mentioned over it, for verily it is disobedience. فانظر البركة. Look at the blessing of the name of Allah. والإنسان إذا توضأ ولم يسمي. If for a person were to make wudu and he doesn't mention the name of Allah, فَوُضُوءُهُ عِنْدَ بَعْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَاسِدٌ لَابُدَّ مِنَ الْإِعَادَةِ. And according to some of the scholars, in that case, his wudu would be invalid and he must repeat it if he didn't say Bismillah in the beginning of the wudu. When he said some scholars say that it would be invalid, what does that indicate? That some scholars would say that it's valid. So some scholars classify the Bismillah, saying Bismillah at the beginning of the wudu, as being a wajib, that it affects the wudu and makes the wudu invalid if it is forgotten. And some of them say it is sunnah. Some of them say it is a legislated act, yet if it's left off, the wudu remains valid. And some of them give tafsil, that if it is intendedly left off, that it is invalid, and if it is forgotten while the person normally says the Basmala, then that wudu is acceptable, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. وَالْإِنسَانُ إِذَا رَأَ الصَّيْدَ الزَّاحِفَ أَوْ الطَّائِرَ. If a person saw some game that he's hunting, or a bird that's flying, فَيَرْمِيهِ وَلَمْ يُسَمِّي, and he shot at it, either with his bow and arrow or with his gun hunting, and he didn't mention the name of Allah, يَكُونُ هَذَا الصَّيْدُ حَرَامًا, then this game animal that is killed, in this case, would be haram. مَيْتَةً نَجِسًا مُضِرًّا عَلَى الْبَدَنِ. Would be haram, dead meat, impure and harmful to the body. فَانْظُرْ الْبَرَكَةَ. Look at the blessing. Look at the blessing. وَالْإِنسَانُ إِذَا أَتَى أَهْلَهُ يَعْنِي جَامَعَ زَوْجَتَهُ. And look how, if a person goes to his wife for sexual intercourse, وقال بسم الله, and he says in the name of Allah, اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا, and he says this dua, O Allah, keep us from the shaytan and keep the shaytan away from what you provide us with. كان هذا حماية لهذا الولد الذي ينشأ من هذا الجماع. Then this would be a kind of protection for the offspring that would be the result of this act of intercourse. حماية له من الشيطان, protection from him, from the devil, from a shaytan. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, لو أن أحدكم إذا أتى أهله, if one of you goes to his family, meaning for intercourse, قال بسم الله, and he says in the name of Allah, اللهم جنبنا الشيطان, O Allah, keep us away from the shaytan, وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا, and keep the shaytan away from what you provide us with, فإنه إن يقدر بينهما ولد لم يضره الشيطان أبدا. And if it is willed that they get a child from that meeting, then the shaytan would never be able to harm him. That hadith was collected by both al-Imams Bukhari and Muslim. وَالْإِنسَانُ يَسْعَى يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. So a person should go left and right. A person, or he's talking about the reality of parents here. People go all over the place, لِحِمَايَةِ وَرَدِهِ, to protect their children. People go in various ways to protect their children. وَيَخْسَرَ الدَّرَاهِمَ الْكَثِيرَةِ, and they spend and lose out on lots of money to protect their children. And we'll pause here to listen to the adhan for Salat al-Maghrib. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم اكبر. وانا اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وان محمدا رسول الله. اللهم رب هذه الدعوه الدائمه والصلاه القائمه اتي محمدا الفضيله وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. So the Shaykh is talking about the reality of how people try to protect children, how they spend lots of money in doing so. وهنا هذا الدواء من الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. And here is the remedy coming from the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَهُوَ رَخِيص, is something cheap, meaning in terms of how much money you have to spend. The Shaykh said that in the original recording. Here in the transcription it says يسير, easy. من ناحية العمل, as it relates to the amount of action that's required to protect your child with this, it's easy, it's cheap and it's easy, right? وسهل, and very easy. وكل هذا دليل على بركة اسم الله عز وجل. All of this shows, all of these examples that have been mentioned here show the greatness of the blessing of the name of Allah, the mighty and majestic. ذي الجلال والإكرام, the possessor of honor and kindness. أي ذي العظمة والإكرام, ذي العظمة, the possessor of greatness, والإكرام, the possessor of kindness and generosity. The word ذي, ذي means بمعنى صاحب. ذي means صاحب. You know the hadith of ذو اليدين, ذو اليدين. You know ذو القرنين, ذو القرنين in Surah Al-Kahf. ذو القرنين, the possessor of the two qarns, right? And it said ذو القرنين meant two braids that he had, two braids of hair that he had, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. ذو اليدين was a nickname given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that companion who had long arms, and he asked when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed two rak'ats for dhuhr, or maybe it was asr, he said aqasurat as-salati, right? He said, is the salat now shortened, aw nasit, or have you forgotten? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? It's not shortened and I haven't forgotten. And then he looked around at the companions and he said, أَصَحِيهُ مَا يَقُولُهُ ذُلْ يَدَيْنِ. Is it correct what ذُلْ يَدَيْنِ is saying, the guy with the two arms? And he means long arms. The guy with the two long arms. ذُو in Arabic means the possessor of something. So ذُو مَال, someone who has money. ذُو جَاهٍ, someone who has respect and status. ذُو what? ذُو أَوْلَادٍ كَثِيرًا, someone who has lots of children, right? So here the Shaykh is saying ذُو بِمَعْنَ صَاحِب. And the word ذُو is from what we call the أَسْمَاء خَمْسَة, the five nouns that they change. The I'rab changes from ذُو to that to ذِي. And Abu, Abba, and Abi, depending on the grammatical case of that, of the place of that word in the sentence. So we say, هَذَا أَبُو هُرَيْرَةً وَرَأَيْتُ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةً وَمَرَرْتُ بِأَبِي هُرَيْرَةً. So Abu changes to Abba, changes to Abi, depending on the grammatical case. Likewise is ذُو, right? So ذُلْ قَرْنَيْن, ذَلْ قَرْنَيْن, and ذِلْ قَرْنَيْن, depending on the concept. So here Allah is ذُلْ جَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَام, here ذِلْ جَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَام. And you might know after the salat, what do you say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta as-salamu wa minka as-salamu tabarakta ya. Yes. Ya zal jalali wal ikram. In one narration, zal without ya. Just say zal jalali wal ikram. So there's the ذو in the mansub form. For those of you studying Arabic, it becomes zal jalali wal ikram. So here in the end of Surah Ar-Rahman, ذِلْ جَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So the Shaykh says, it is a description of الرب, right? تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِلْ جَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Because ism, the word ism is مرفوع, ismu. رَبِّك, رَبِّك is مَجْرُور بِالْإِضَافَ. رَبِّك, it has a kasra on it. So therefore the ذُو turns into ذِي. That's basically what the Shaykh is saying here. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ صِفَةٌ لِإِسْمِ لَكَانَتْ ذُو. وَالْإِكْرَامُ يَعْنِي هُوَ يُكْرِمُ وَهُوَ يُكْرَمُ. And he says here, the meaning of al-ikram, Allah is the possessor of al-ikram, generosity and kindness, and or being honored, or honoring others. He says it's both the case that he honors and is generous to others, and others honor him. And this is what he means. However, the wording of his tafsir here is a bit strange. فَهُوَ يُكْرِمُ وَيَحْتَرِمُ وَيُعَظِّمُ. So Allah Ta'ala is someone who honors people, bestows upon them, is kind to them. He honors them, he shows them kindness and so on, the mighty and majestic. وَهُوَ أَيْضًا يُكْرَمُ. And he also is honored. It's kind of a strange phrase. He is honored. And then he doesn't bring a proof for it, but rather he brings a proof for the other one, which is more easily understood. It is easy to say that Allah honors people, right? And Allah honored the sons of Adam, and Allah honored, you know, people from many different ways. But the people honor Allah with their acts of worship is kind of a strange statement in Arabic. To say, أَكْرَمْنَا اللَّهَ, that we have honored Allah by worshiping Him. In English, I don't know if it sits well with you, but in Arabic it's a bit of a problematic phrase. But the Shaykh is saying that's the second side of the meaning of ذُلْ جَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And this has been discussed earlier in the surah. In about halfway through the surah, the same verse came up, and we mentioned the problematic nature of this tafsir. He says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, about the people of paradise, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ, and those are the people who are in paradise. مُكْرَمُونَ means أَكْرَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ, they are مُكْرَمُونَ, they are, you know, they have honor bestowed upon them. Allah is the one who bestowed that honor upon them by accepting their actions and allowing them to go to paradise. فَهُوَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So he is the possessor of majesty and the one who is honored and honoring. يُكْرِمُ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُ الْإِكْرَامِ. He honors those who deserve to be honored. وَهُوَ يُكْرِمُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عِبَادُهُ الصَّالِحُونَ. And he is honored by his righteous servants. And just to remind you that I did ask my Shaykh Muhammad Umar Bazmul about this uneasy feeling about this word, and he said that is not to be said. We do not say that we honor Allah with our worship. We say we worship Allah. And Allah honors us with forgiveness. Allah honors us with provisions. Allah honors us in so many ways. However, we don't honor Allah, meaning we worship Allah in a way that honors Him. That is not to be said in Arabic. Akramna Allah. In English, it might sound like it's okay, not something to be detested. The Shaykh ends with a dua saying, Ja'alana Allahu minhum bimannihi wa karamihi. And may Allah make us from them, the people of paradise, by His generosity and His kindness. And with that, walhamdulillah, Salat al-Maghrib is upon us. And we thank Allah Ta'ala for allowing us to finish this great tafsir of Surat Ar-Rahman. Before I close, you have a question, Akhi Jubair? Ahsant. Another hadith indicates to us, the question is about, is the hadith, is the dua that we've mentioned in today's class, is it specific only to protecting the child from the shaitan? Or is there something in it for the husband and wife as well, to be protected? And that's clear from the wording. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Oh Allah, keep us away from the shaitan. Then the second part, wa jannib ash-shaytana ma razaqtana. And keep the shaitan away from what you give us. So the first part is for the couple, and the second part is for the child. And yes, the shaitan, if you don't say bismillah when you come in the house, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the shaitan comes into his house. And when you don't say bismillah when you eat, then the shaitan shares with you in your food. Right? And so on. So, be warned about being heedless about the mention of Allah. Mention Allah upon coming into your houses. Mention Allahu Ta'ala when you eat. Mention Allahu Ta'ala even when you begin an act of intercourse with your wife to protect yourself, your wife, and your future offspring from the evils of a shaitan. Now, these are asbab. These are the methods we take to protect children from the shaitan. It's not that you do this one thing now and you don't have to educate your children or teach them Quran or teach them how to worship Allah. And you say, I just made that dua every time I had intercourse. So he's with Allah, he's protected by Allah, and I have to do nothing as a parent. Rather, this is one of the many, many steps of a parent involved in protecting his offspring from the misguidance, the deviation, the desires that the shaitan whispers into his chest. And it's an ongoing battle. May Allah Ta'ala save us. With that, we'll finish for the evening. And we finish our series of tafsir, Surat Ar-Rahman. Thanking Allah Ta'ala for this and good news. InshaAllah Ta'ala, in our future sittings or sessions here, we will be adding on weekly quizzes to the material that we take as a part of this tafsir class. So those of you who are interested in reviewing before the class, and that way starting the class with a proper reference and a proper background on what was taken in the last class, being prepared in the best way, you will have the 2 days before the class to take a short multiple choice test online. And so you can go to our website to learn about how to register for those classes online. That is a free service, and may Allah Ta'ala allow it to be a benefit to those who study with us locally and those who study online. هذا والله أعلم وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.